The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However, you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander, live from Bar Canada at the D. Wyatt Tomchek in for the vacationing Kelly Bidlin. Still to come this hour, Nick Whalen will join us from RotoWire. Talk a little NBA and NFL. Jason Weingarten on baseball. And the great Dr. Bob, of course, on college basketball. But let us talk some soccer. And I wasn't going to ask this gentleman to come on the show today. He's been with us for maybe since the inception, almost the inception of VSiN, kind enough to come on a numbers game. And comes with a heavy heart this morning because his father passed away in the last few days after battling cancer. It's our dear friend Paul Carr from Topeka, Kansas, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Paul, my sincerest, most heartfelt condolences, man, and thank you for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Gil. I know you know what I'm going through because you've done it relatively recently.
Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, there's no way to really describe what it's like unless you're going through it. And, but yeah, it's been good. I mean, good support from family and friends. And for me, sports are a little bit cathartic in a way because it was such a way, I think like you and your dad, you know, that I bonded with my dad.
Yes.
And why I have the career that I have in sports. So yeah, talking sports and going to opening day yesterday and stuff are good ways for me to kind of deal with my grief.
That was something your dad and you shared, going to baseball games, and you said you went to opening day yesterday. I'm not trying to produce emotions out of you, but you said the flyover at the beginning was really what was the moment. Yeah.
I mean, two things my dad loves a lot are sports and flying, like, and his two sons. I'm working sports. My brother's a pilot. So that kind of, you know, tells you his impact on us. And he always loved to fly over. He'd be the one who's like watching the weather for days. See, it's going to be a clear day. We're going to have a good flyover. There's a B2 base near Kansas City. And so we had a perfect B2 flyover on a blue day, blue sky day. That was, just about perfect. So I know he was watching and smiling somewhere.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I said this to you via text, and I'll say it to you here on air. It's, you know, always remember how much he loved you, of course, and lean into every one of those emotions. It's
for sure.
Like you said, you can't really describe it to anybody unless they've gone through it. Before we move on to other things, you once told a story here on the show, I think a long time ago, but when you were at ESPN, did you want to share that story again?
Yeah. Yeah. People ask, like, what was your favorite encounter or whatever you have at ESPN? Because you run into a lot of athletes, celebrities, whatever. My favorite one was with Bob Greasy, who, of course, was a quarterback when they finished the perfect season in 1972 for the Dolphins. My dad was a Dolphins fan, had season tickets from day one of the Dolphins in 1966. So I was raised on this, you know, 72 Dolphins lore and things like that. So I'm working on Mike and Mike, and Bob Greasy comes in studio as a college football analyst. And Golic, being a nice guy, like, hey, pulls me over, introduces me to Bob, but he introduces me like, hey, this is Paul Carr. He's a researcher. He knows everything. He's a huge Dolphins fan. Ask him anything you want and he'll know. Bob Greasy gives me the old, tough guy look. Kind of like, okay, let's see what this guy's got. Yeah. I'm just terrified. Like, he could ask me a bajillion things I have no shot at answering. So he's like, okay, all right. Who returned the opening kickoff in Dolphins history for a touchdown? And my dad was at this game. He had shown me this highlight dozens of times. So, you know, stumbling over myself to get the answer, I was like, it's Joe Auer.
Of course.
Bob Greasy gives me, yeah, why not? Bob Greasy gives me the, okay, this guy's all right look. And go, what's this? See, I told you. And I'm, you know, my heart's pounding. I'm just happy that, you know, I'm still alive at that point. So then I got to walk Bob Greasy back to, you know, through the halls, labyrinth of ESPN, back to the desk, talking to him and, you know, told him my dad loved the Dolphins. And at the end he said, say hi to your dad for me.
And oh man.
I've never been so excited to call my dad ever than to tell him all that just happened.
Say hi to your dad.
My favorite ESPN encounter right there.
That's awesome. Paul, I feel awkward even asking you about soccer, but to the extent that it provides you with any kind of distraction here, we will, because there is a, you know, there's 10 games left in the Premier League season. Arsenal and Liverpool tied at the top at 64 points with Man City knocking at the door at 63. And you've got an Arsenal-Man City game this weekend. It's about as big as it gets. I would imagine that, and I don't know, maybe I shouldn't imagine, but I'll ask you, does the winner of this, like, immediately, obviously in the standings, it will be the case, at least temporarily, but do you generally feel that whoever wins this game has the leg up on the other two moving forward?
I think they have to be. I mean, City's your betting favorite right now around plus 110, Liverpool plus 200, Arsenal 275-ish. Yeah, if Arsenal goes on the road and wins this game, like, you're picking up, you know, 2 points above whatever you're kind of projected for the rest of the season, maybe more. So it is obviously the toughest game that either one has left. So yeah, the winner of this, with that Liverpool asterisk hanging out there, the winner of this is in the driver's seat for the title the rest of the season.
And so how do you see it going?
I think this will look a lot like their first matchup. They played in October. It was 1-0 Arsenal. There were a total of 16 shots, less than one expected goal between the two teams. And you know, that's kind of how Arsenal has played all season. They're the best defense in Europe. And Man City has, when they're clicking, the best attack in Europe. Now, De Bruyne and Haaland are out for a good chunk of the season. And that's a big question mark here is, what's Kevin De Bruyne's status? He didn't play their FA Cup game a couple weeks ago. He didn't play during this last international break for Belgium. So that's a big X factor. He's been training, I think, yesterday. So he's probably going to play. There's obviously, you know, how long can he go? How effective will he be? Will they start him or bring him off the bench sort of thing? So that's obviously good news for City. They have other injury issues with John Stones and Kyle Walker in defense, both out after some injuries over the break. So that's obviously a bad thing for Man City. But I think we're going to see a low scoring type of game like we did the first time around, where Arsenal tries to limit chances. It's what they've done to every team all year, and they've done it very well. And, you know, in some ways, both teams could be happy with the draw. Like, it's definitely, we don't want to lose this and lose 3 points to the other team sort of thing.
Right.
So that's kind of the way I'm leaning with this. I played the draw at plus 280 last night. It's dropped a little bit now, plus 270-ish, which I think is still okay. Again, losing this is much worse than not winning it, if that makes sense. Just because you're obviously falling behind from a point perspective and just can't make that up head to head the rest of the way. So I like the draw, get as close to plus 300, obviously, as you can. Plus 280 is where I got it at last night.
All right. And the game itself, I just want to get the exact time here for folks. Yeah. This is, what is it exactly?
This is Sunday.
Sunday at, as always, with the conversion of the time here.
Yeah. I've got it at 10:30 Central Time.
There it is. So if you need a little, action Sunday morning, as you await NCAA March Madness games, there you go.
Yeah, be nice to you.
What do I say then to my Arsenal fan guy valet in my building, who is the biggest defeatist guy in the world, who has said every single day this comes up, oh, we're gonna blow it, we're gonna blow it, we're gonna blow it. What do I say to him? Yeah. That the draw is not the outcome he wants? Is that essentially what I should say to him?
I think a draw is fine. You go to City and you get a draw out of this, you're going to be very happy. I mean, I'm sure he's going to be watching, you know, from behind the couch, peeking out with his hands between his eyes, or eyes between his hands, or whatever it is. But Liverpool's won 8 in a row, and they've conceded 4 goals in those 8 games. Obviously, none of those teams are as good as Man City. But, you know, they are doing everything they need to do. And they put themselves in that position, which is really all you can ask to.
Yeah.
You got this one game, it's big. And then if you can get a point out of this, you're not coasting the rest of the way, but you more or less control your own destiny over the last 9 games of the season.
Yeah, I misspoke. I mean, the draw is, based on everything you said, is the outcome he wants. But you see, the problem is, if I tell him that, he is going to completely disagree and shout me down. He'd be like, that's ridiculous, you know. So I'm anticipating that. All right, so the draw is the play with 10 games left in the Premier League season. The table is as tight as could be at the top between those three teams, adding Liverpool in. Paul, my most heartfelt, sincerest condolences. Love you, man. Thank you so much for coming on.
No, thanks, Gil. I appreciate it. And yeah, condolences. I mean, it was 2 years ago, I know, for you, but I know it's still fresh. So now we can still relate in the same boat. And yeah, we'll all get through this.
We will. Paul Carr, everybody, at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R on Twitter, from True Media Networks, and of course the host of the Expected Value podcast. I wasn't going to ask him to come on. I did not ask him to come on. And he volunteered, and I was like, are you sure? And he was like, yeah, no, let's talk about it. And there is not a nicer guy. There is not a nicer guy than Paul Carr. just the nicest guy. And what he was alluding to is that, and folks who have listened to this show for a long time will remember, just over 2 years ago, my dad passed away, and I actually came on air the first time I was back from that. And I did a tribute to my dad, as much as you can distill, you know, one human being's life of, you know, 8 decades into 1 10-minute segment. It literally sounds the least I could do, right? And I barely got through it. I remember my voice was cracking. But then afterwards, like, I go to my car, and you just don't know how you react in these moments. Like, people grieve in different ways. I went to my car in the South Point parking lot right after the show, because it was the last segment of the show, and I sobbed like a baby. Like, just uncontrollably. And that was how it came out of me. And Paul said when he went to the Royals opening game, like, that was, he was soaking in. And he said when the flyover happened, and that's how he and his dad bonded all those years, that just meant so much to him to go to that game yesterday. The timing just worked out perfectly. So, and here he is then giving us a soccer pick. So, you know, of all the guys, and we have a lot of, you know, all of our guests are super nice guys, but Paul might be the nicest of the nice. So if you can send him a nice note on Twitter, if it's in your thinking today, please, by all means, do. We'll come back. College Hoops with Dr. Bob on the other side. Jason Weingarten on Major League Baseball. Nick Whalen from RotoWire. A little NBA talk. A little NFL. He's got some NFL thoughts. Never too early to talk NFL. Dr. Bob on the other side. Pioneer in the business. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite, all at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. B21. It's Gil Alexander, live from Bar Canada. Here at the D, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Doug Wedge at DJ Wedge Bets. Doug Wedge, who listened to the Beating the Book March Madness Megapod. Will and Todd were so on it last year that he ended up finishing second overall in the DraftKings March Madness bracket pool last year for a nice little $35,000 prize. He said, I'm still alive in my survivor pool, 768 left from 14,624. My only real choice for tonight is Gonzaga. Don't have the cojones to take NC State. If I get past tonight, I'll still have UConn, finals likely pick, Houston, Tennessee, Creighton, Duke, Alabama. Good for you, Doug. Good luck with everything. Stephen Vegas sending positive thoughts to Paul Carr in what has to be one of the most challenging times in his life. Cheers for being a trooper and being on ANG with Gil. It's a good time to remember to call or say hi to our parental. This is my parents. A good time to call or say hi to our parents today on or this Easter weekend. On this Easter weekend, good time to call them. All the best, Paul. Steve, that's a great thought. What a great time to reach out to your parents and say hello for sure. Kevin Ryan, Gil, I too lost my dad in the last couple of years. I don't know how Paul Carr was able to reminisce about his pops without losing it on air. Like he said, unless you've been through it, you just don't know. Big shout out to Paul Carr for coming on the show this morning and talking some soccer with us. Back to college hoops. Sweet 16 continues tonight, of course. Elite 8 matchup set, at least the first half of those for tomorrow. Dr. Bob joins us at Dr. Bob Sports, drbobsports.com, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Bob?
Doing all right. Good, pretty good night last night. I'm glad I gave out a couple of winners. I think first time I came on your show, I think I just about two losers during the tournament. So the things have turned around. Things have gotten good lately.
Remind everybody who you had yesterday.
Well, I had a best bet on Connecticut, and they crushed San Diego State. And I split opinions on Illinois and North Carolina. So overall, a good day.
Have you had a chance to dive into tomorrow's games yet or no?
A little bit. I'm not ready to talk about them yet, but okay. We can talk about today's game.
All right. Well, let's talk about today's. I was going to ask you, obviously, if the UConn number was right where it was against Illinois, but let's talk about tonight's. We can go through them one by one, and I'll just get your thoughts, whether you have a play or not on these, because I think people would like to hear your thoughts on each of these. And let's do them chronologically, as we like to do. These are South and Midwest games tonight, beginning with the first tip-off, again, just after 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, 9 minutes after the hour. Marquette, 7-point favorites here against, six and a half, seven, somewhere in that pocket against NC State. Any thoughts here?
Well, it's this is a tough one to do. I mean, NC State became better when Muhammad Diarra joined the starting lineup in mid-February. Since then, they've been very, very good. They're one of their most efficient offensive players, and he is their best defensive player. He didn't play a lot. He only averaged 14 and a half minutes a game in the first 24 games of the season. In the last 14 games, Diarra's averaged 32 minutes a game, and NC State has gone on a run. That is the main reason why NC State has suddenly become a good team. Of course, Marquette had some players out. Tyler Kolick was out for six games. Mitchell missed four games. Cam Jones and Iguodara missed a game each. So when they've had all their guys together, Marquette's been a better team than their overall rating. I come out with 6.5. I have two ways of doing ratings. And one came out 7.5, Marquette by 7.5. One came out Marquette by 5.5. And I'm like, well, I'll split the difference and just make it 6.5. So no, I don't really see a lot of value here. Well, I've gone up to 7. So I guess if I had to play it, I'd probably play NC State at 7. But you don't have to play it. I don't think there's enough edge there. So I'm passing that one.
Real quick, handicapping question. You said you have two ways of doing ratings. Are you talking about your model and the technical?
No. In this particular game, there was either use all of NC State's games against quality opposition and make an adjustment for the minutes Diarra is playing now.
I see.
And then the other way was only use the games in which Diarra played and then make an adjustment for the variance, the positive variance that there's also been in those games. And so there are two ways to sort of do it in this particular way. Use all games and adjust for Diarra, upgrade that, or use only the games he was starting and then downgrade them again for the positive variance they've had in those games. And so this case, there were two ways to do it. So.
Okay, understood. Let's go to the Midwest region. Purdue, 5.5-point favorites against Gonzaga. Total, 155.
Yeah, I like Purdue here. I had Purdue as a best bet against Utah State, and I like Purdue as a best bet again. I laid 4.5 on Monday, and it's up to 5.5 now. I still would play it as a best bet at 5.5. Gonzaga, obviously really impressive against Kansas, but they've had trouble guarding really good offensive teams this year against teams that rank in the top 60 in compensated offensive points possession, or you could look at Ken Palm's efficiency ratings or Torvik or whatever. They're about the same as mine. Teams that rank in the top 60 in offense, they're just 2-6 straight up against those teams. They beat Kentucky. They won, but they lost 2 out of 3 to St. Mary's. They lost to Washington. They lost by double digits to San Diego State, Connecticut, and Purdue. They've already played Purdue once. So they've had trouble against good offensive teams, efficient offensive teams, whereas Purdue has beaten everybody. They've played the fifth toughest schedule in the nation. They're 31-4 in those games. They have played some really good offensive teams, and Gonzaga is certainly an elite offensive team, but against the top 15 offensive rating, teams in the top 15 in offensive rating, Purdue's played 7 of those games. They've won all 7 by 5 points or more. So they've done a really good job against elite offenses, whereas Gonzaga hasn't. And just Purdue's just a better team. I make the line 6.5. Plus you've got, Purdue pretty close to the site here, whereas Detroit is 2,100 miles from Spokane, Washington. It's a little bit of a travel factor. So I like Purdue here as the best bet.
All right. Once again, Purdue trying to pull off what UVA did 5 years ago, which is lose as a 1 seed to a 16 and then come back the next year and win the national title. Let's go back to the South. Houston and Duke. Houston, 4-point favorites. Total set at 134.5.
Yeah, Houston, obviously they're a team that just beat up on bad teams. So I don't, I bet them in the first round because they were playing Longwood. I'm like, they're just going to destroy that team that they've been all season. But in my tournament ratings, those games are all excluded. So all of Houston's games against really bad teams that they dominated and were relatively better in those games are not even included in my tournament ratings. And I think Houston gets a bit of a bad rap for having a bit underperformed in the tournament in recent years. And everybody knows, well, they beat up on bad teams, so maybe not as good as they are. But they were 17-4 in games against Big 12 teams, which is the nation's best conference. So it's not like, they can't beat good teams. And I think their game against Texas A&M was a little misleading. And obviously they were winning by 10 with a minute 17 left. But in the game, including the overtime, they shot 61% from the field and held Texas A&M to 39% from the field. So they really were better in that game than the 5-point overtime win suggests. I mean, the referees sent the Aggies to the line 45 times. That's a lot for a team that was behind the whole game. It's not like Houston was fouling to try to catch up. So you get 45 free throws for a team that was behind the whole game. The referees certainly helped make Houston look worse than they are. And that could be a factor in this game. If they're blowing the whistle a lot, then maybe that's not good. But a normal crew would not blow the whistle that often against Houston. But I do think the line's about right. I think 4.5 is about the right line, and right now it's mostly 4. I would certainly rather have Houston here than Duke, but I could probably see it going both ways, but I think Houston's probably the right side here.
All right, then last tip off tonight, the 2-3 game in the Midwest, Tennessee's a 3-point favorite against Creighton.
I like Creighton here. I made it an opinion. So a half unit bet on Creighton plus 3. Tennessee last year really struggled in the half court, and coaching staff said, well, you know what, let's try to get more transition baskets, so that will keep us out of the half court. So they've gone from 246 in the nation in average possession time last year, so a really slow, relatively, team, to the 24th fastest possession time this season. But fast-paced teams relatively don't do as well in tournament conditions, because there just aren't as many fast break opportunities for whatever reason in the tournament. Every team's hustle back more or whatever. But in the tournament so far, they lost. They had one SEC tournament game. They lost by 17 to Mississippi State. And aside from St. Peter's, who the team they should blow out, which they did, they only scored 62 points and averaged 0.87 points per possession in a win over Texas. So the offense has struggled. They haven't got the transition points that they got in the regular season. And if they get caught in a half-point game against Creighton, I don't think it's necessarily a great matchup. Creighton forces you to take mid-range twos. They do not allow three-pointers, and they have Kalkbrenner to protect the rim. The teams have to take mid-range twos. Now, Tennessee's got a couple guys who can make those, but they're reluctant to take two-point shots. They're 284th in the nation in the percentage of their shots that are two-pointers. They like to take threes, but they're not going to get the threes against Creighton. So I don't think it's a great matchup for Tennessee. They can make those mid-range shots. They're just reluctant to take them. So I don't think it's a great matchup, and I think there's a little bit of value on Creighton here, enough to make it a half-unit bet for me at plus 3.
All right, so Purdue's a bet. Creighton's a half-unit bet.
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Bob, everybody. Bob Stoll. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it as always.
All right. Good luck.
DrBobSports.com at DrBobSports on Twitter. Jason Weingarten on the other side. We'll talk some baseball, quick reactions to day one. And I've got a tennis play. Numbers game. Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Today's the final day to sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription and get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year. That includes our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert, that's which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, plus access to our March Madness betting hub with picks for every game of the tournament. Remember, though, this offer expires today. So sign up at VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code ANG.
That is ANG. Those should be the three letters on your license plate.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. I was surprised when I first got my license plate in the state of Nevada. I have never had this experience anywhere else that I've lived and gotten license plates for cars, and I've lived in multiple states. But Nevada asks you up front, hey, do you want customized license plate?
They don't do that in other places? You have to like...
No, that's not their like go-to initial question. Mm. No. I think you almost have to bring it up yourself in other places.
Do you have ANG on your license plates?
Hell no.
Okay, good. So that way the cops can't find you.
Well, someone else can get it in Nevada. Yeah. No, what I'm saying, I was so startled by the question, I was like,
No.
I hadn't really thought about it, no. All right, tennis play. The last couple days, we have not had a tennis play in Miami in the second half of the Sunshine Double, the last hardcore tournament here till we go to clay. But today we do. Grigor Dimitrov. Give us out at VSiN.com/picks. Again, every host plays in every sport. Every guest plays in every sport at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. Gave out Dimitrov last night at plus 127 against Sasha Zverev. He is plus 122, so it's only about a nickel worse here, only about 5 cents worse. I would still play it at plus 122. I wouldn't play it any lower than plus 115. Here's the rub, and this is sort of a interesting case study about raw data versus head-to-head. So the raw data, Dimitrov's is actually far better than that of Sasha Zverev, if you can believe that or not, on hard courts. And Grigor Dimitrov just slayed Carlitos Alcaraz yesterday in straight sets very easily, beat Uber Urkach before that, who's a great server. He's up against Sasha Zverev, obviously, who's lived in the top 10 in tennis for years. This is the first time Dimitrov will re-enter the top 10 since the year 2018, or 2019, I believe, one of those years. So it's been a while for him. But here's the head-to-head part of this. Zverev owns Dimitrov. He is 7-1 lifetime, and the one was the very first match they played about a decade ago. So he's 7 in a row against Dimitrov. Doesn't matter what surface. Most have been on hard courts. So this is really a raw data, current form versus, not that Zverev's in terrible form right now. He's in very good form, too, versus sort of this head-to-head ownage, if you will, to use the word ownage. I'm going with the data. Dimitrov, plus 127 is the play. I would still play it at plus 122 right now. Let's talk some baseball and beyond with Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke at Spreadopedia on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Jason, share with the audience what you were just sharing with Wyatt and me during the break. What are you doing?
Oh, doing my office or watching the Crawley game?
Oh, I didn't know you were watching Crawley. Well, let's start with the office. What are you doing with the office?
Just remodeling it, putting up new shelves and whatnot. I'm just a little bit behind on schedule.
And what was your line?
I'd fire myself, but I'd fire the contractor, but I can't fire myself.
That's right. Fire the contractor, but I can't fire myself. All right, Crawley, would you like to explain to folks what this is about?
Well, I'm just watching the game right now. The goalie on the other team, I think it's Doncaster, just stopped the goal with his face. So that was cool to see. Unfortunate. I wish he didn't stop it, but yeah. Really literally stopped it with his face. So that was cool. Maybe.
What's the score right now? What's the score right now?
0-0, 32nd minute. Maybe the goalie's concussed now, though. Maybe there's an edge there. I don't know.
Could be. By the way, Jason, that's nil-nil in soccer talk. Just want to point that out.
Yeah, it's 0-0 in Jason talk.
Yeah. Crawley Town, for those who don't know what we're talking about, this is in League 2. And the reason that we are interested in Crawley, well, Jason far more than myself for other reasons, but this is Preston Johnson's team. Our old buddy Preston Johnson, who used to be on Daily Wager. National audience probably knows him best from that, but he used to come on a numbers game. For many, many appearances. Nicest guy in the world. Parlayed some crypto success, let's call it, into owning a soccer team. And this is just interesting because Preston and I used to do podcast, College Football Bowl podcast, where we would sell it for a dollar. And now he owns a soccer team. And so Crawley, correct me if I'm wrong here, Jason, this is a Moneyball story that Preston led the charge on here. This was a team that locals were not very happy that they had a Yankee owner. They were upset with his tactics, and now they are in playoff position. Is that true?
They are on the verge of a potential playoff spot, the edge of the playoffs, if you want to call it that. Currently in seventh place, the top seven teams make the playoffs. I think the top two automatically get promoted. The others play some sort of tournament. I'm actually not quite certain the details, but it's like slightly under a 50% chance. They had it at like 43% or something as of before this game. So, you know, every win from here on out, I think there's 9 games left. Every win makes a huge difference. I think we're sitting at 60 points right now, and 69 to 70 is sort of what the latest projections were to secure a playoff spot. So considering the state of everything when the team was taken over and what Preston's done and basically building a almost an entire new team from the bottom up, it's really cool to see.
He says that if Crawley makes the playoffs, he's coming on a numbers game. So I look forward to that. I'm rooting for it just for that alone.
If Crawley makes playoffs, or if the last game of the season is a win and you're in situation, I'm already planning on going to London. I know like 15 other people who are already planning on going to London. So there's going to be a big travel contingent to a playoff game, a potential playoff game. I'm
That's awesome.
Very much looking forward to that.
It's awesome. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy either. Okay. Any plays today in Major League Baseball that you've made yet?
I've not made anything yet. I'm very happy baseball is back. I don't go too crazy betting the first couple days of the season. If I had to bet anything, I'd probably just bet the Dodgers -1.5 again. You know, it doesn't necessarily have a model or anything behind it. I'm just going to probably bet a lot of Dodgers 1.5 going forward, especially against crappy pitching like Cardinals are going to be thrown out today. But really, one game of the season so far, you can't really overreact other than to say, like, every guy I liked, obviously, who played well, it reinforces what I thought. And every team that did bad, you know, well, obviously, I knew the Angels were going to be bad. Look how bad they were. But, you know, you can't really take anything away from one game other than reinforcing your priors you already had.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said at the beginning of the show. First of all, by the way, O'Neal Cruz did hit a home run to start things. One of five.
Exactly, MVP candidate.
MVP.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I told you. Like, cut those odds again.
I told you. But that is really, I mean, I know it's very simple, but that is the biggest takeaway from one day. I said it was just it corroborated in one game all your pre-thoughts, which is Dodgers might be great. Orioles might actually be greater than people thought offensively, and Corbin Burns pitch great. And then on the other side, oh my God, how bad might the Rockies and A's be?
I would like to publicly admit that I started Kyle Freeland on my fantasy baseball team.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
He had the worst start in the history of opening day. I should have seen that coming. Obviously not one of my sharper moves. It'll take me a while to recover from that one. Already putting myself in the hole on day one, but man, I don't know what I was thinking. You're right. The Rockies might be bad. And I don't know. I saw the post game comments from Bud Black and from Ron Washington yesterday. And obviously, again, it's only one game, but it's going to be a lot of frustration for teams like that this year. The Rockies, the Angels, just, you know, this was an early showing of what might happen consistently.
Kyle Freeland, 2 1/3. 10 earned runs on 10 hits. God, 49 pitches in. That's what's the
line like
in Anchorman where he says, Baxter, I'm not even mad. I'm impressed. Yeah, that's amazing.
10 runs on opening day is it could only get better from here.
I'm not even mad, Baxter. I'm impressed. He ate the whole wheel of cheese, Wyatt. Who could forget?
That's right. That's right.
And then real quick before you go then, Jason, I know you don't have any plays yet today and your instinct is Dodgers -1.5. Are you in first inning mode? Are you diving back into that this year?
Yeah, I bet a couple yesterday. I bet 3. I went 2-1. I'll probably go through them again today. I didn't want to go crazy, but it was opening day. I was like, what am I going to do? Not bet a couple of these.
What am I going to do? Not bet? I know.
Exactly.
That's all.
So I'll probably hit a couple of them today. I haven't gone through them yet, but I will start, you know, getting these out earlier and earlier as the season moves on.
All right, Jason, don't fire the contractor, whatever you do. Don't fire that guy.
I won't. He's an angry guy when you give him bad news.
I hear that about him. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it as always, man.
Pleasure. I'll talk to you guys later.
Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia. That's where you can find him on Twitter. Always an entertaining follow. Let me put it that way. Nick Whalen from RotoWire. A little NBA and NFL next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. You can earn up to $2,500 worth of bonus bets in your first 3 days on DraftKings. What an offer. Do not wait. Download the app now. Use code ANG when you sign up and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. Now, it's Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek, in for Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Mungie at S, Steelers guy. He says, one of these days, Dr. Bob is going to call from above water. Aaron Kodak, Paul Carr is a true class act and gentleman. Rest in power to his dad. Thank you for making that segment about his relationship with his dad. Yeah, thanks to Paul once again for coming on. at this time. Jason H. 11, Silly Wyatt, of course his license plate is Gilly Ice. That's right. I'm the guy riding around with Gilly Ice. A couple people got plus 130s on Dimitrov. Michael Burns, Bill Hooker, said he got it in the Commonwealth. I'm going to assume that's the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and not the Commonwealth of Virginia. Maybe I should not assume that. And this is from New Jersey, New York, talking about what we were talking about with Jason and Crawley. Top three in League Two get automatically promoted up to League One. Fourth through seventh play in a playoff for the last promotion spot. That's over two legs. And then fifth versus sixth over two legs. Winner of each faces off in a winner take all match at Wembley. Oh, four versus seven over two legs. Five versus six over two legs. Gotcha. Okay. So there's an outside shot, I think, that Crawley could actually get promoted, which would just be unbelievable. I'm not making enough of this, but if Preston ever comes on here, we will absolutely do so. And Tom F., Deep Dive Podcast Survivor pull from 62 down to 6, and I'm live with most everyone available. What a sweat. Good for you, T, for 3. Get it done. Haven't seen this guy in a long time. Thrilled to have him on from RotoWire. Everybody, it's our old friend, senior analyst over there. Talks NBA and NFL with us. It's Nick Whalen. How you doing, Nick?
Doing great, guys. Good to be back on the show. Obviously, a lot to discuss. I mean, the updated NFL futures market is like a holiday for us here. I'm looking forward to hitting it.
Yeah. Well, why don't we start there? Nick comes to us courtesy of the Progressive guest line. You can follow him on Twitter at Whalen, but substitute the number one for the L. That's how he did it cleverly. You got a handful of season win totals you like. Let's do those rapid fire. What do you got?
So the first one that jumped out to me, guys, is the L.A. Rams. Their number's at 8.5. It's minus 110 both ways right now at the DraftKings Sportsbook. And I'm all in on this Rams team, guys. I'll admit I was skeptical going into last season. I believe their number was 7.5 when it opened. Obviously, they blew that out of the water, made the playoffs, gave the Lions a run for their money in the wild card round. You know, this team went all in for a Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and you kind of felt like they were going to have to pay for it after that. And maybe they did in the short term, but they've kind of found a second wind with this core, right? And, you know, losing Aaron Donald this offseason, that's huge. I don't think you can overstate that. There's no replacing Aaron Donald, even at this point in his career. But they went out, they shopped in free agency. They really bolstered that secondary, which was not good last season. They have a first round pick, Gil, for the first time since 2016. They can add a player in the first round for the first time in 8 years. That Whoa. Is huge for this Rams team. I'm still bullish on Cooper Kupp. I think he has another good season left in the tank. Obviously, Puka Nacua emerged out of nowhere as a frontline wide receiver one. Kyron Williams did the same thing at running back. Matthew Stafford has also kind of found a second wind in his career. This time last year, we were talking about Matthew Stafford maybe retiring. I thought he looked great last season. We got a rejuvenated Sean McVay in LA. And perhaps most importantly, they actually have a backup now who's somewhat competent, right? Gone are the days of John Wolford or whoever else they're throwing out there. If Matthew Stafford misses a game or two, you could survive now with Jimmy G. And guys, this was one of the best offenses in the NFL last season. One of the best combinations of a team that can beat you both through the air and on the ground. I think they could be even more dangerous this season. So the Rams are one that I really like. And then the Atlanta Falcons, right? I think this is going to be a popular one. The number's at 9.5. This was a 7-win team last year with horrific coaching, even more horrific quarterback play. And I think as long as Kirk Cousins comes back, looks like a reasonable facsimile of himself pre-Achilles, and as long as he stays healthy, I think they could be a 10 or even an 11-win team in this NFC South. I think we're going to see a completely new version of this offense. I think Drake London is going to go up a level this season. Bijan Robinson should be unlocked. Kyle Pitts may even be released from fantasy prison. I think fantasy football players and sports bettors are currently working on putting together like a class action lawsuit against Arthur Smith for the atrocities that he committed last season. But there's a lot of optimism around this Falcons team right now, and for good reason. I mean, they had a stretch last year where they went 2-5 over a 7-game span, and they lost those 5 games by a combined 16 points. That is quarterback play, and that is coaching. That's not going to happen again this season. I don't think we can overstate the jump in overall competency from this franchise that Kirk Cousins is going to bring, even in his age 36 season. Last thing I'll say on the Falcons, I don't know that any other team in that division got markedly better, right? It's like maybe expect a little bit more out of Carolina this season, but the Falcons lost to Carolina last year, right? They already split with the Panthers. I think you'd kind of take that as the worst case in 2024. They went 3-3 in division last year. I think they should be able to go 4-2 or better. And they have a pretty friendly schedule outside of the NFC South, specifically getting games against a couple bottom feeders in the AFC West.
All right, let's do this, Nick. You have more season wins. You have some futures plays. You have some awards in the NFL. Let's hold those for the next time you come on, because you got a bunch, and we'll get into the NFL once some of this basketball clears. But let's talk about NBA tonight, because you have several thoughts on games tonight. Let's begin with maybe the marquee matchup, maybe. Suns and Thunder tonight, big one. Suns right now in play-in position, the number 7 seed in the West. They're a game behind in the loss column of the 6-seeded Mavericks. And then, of course, there's the Thunder, who are jockeying with the Nuggets and T-Wolves for the number 1 spot in the West. All three teams with 22 losses, the Nuggets with a half-game lead over both the T-Wolves and the Thunder. What are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, it says a lot, guys. I know the Suns are on the road, but they're only 2-point favorites against an OKC team that likely will not have SGA for the second game in a row. We saw OKC get taken to overtime by Houston, ended up losing that game on Wednesday night. But, you know, the Suns have been, excuse me, really, really difficult to trust, right? And I think they're kind of running out of time for us to see, all right, what can this big three actually look like, you know, when they're all on the court together? And, you know, for the first half of the season, I think you could find an excuse. It felt like, you know, Durant or Booker or Beal, one of those guys was out of the lineup every single night. But we're yet to see, you know, a 10-game stretch or even a 5-game stretch where you see the full potential of this team and you think, all right, this is why we thought, you know, this could be one of the maybe three title contenders in the Western Conference. And, you know, as you alluded to, I mean, Phoenix needs to make some hay here, right? They're a half game behind Dallas right now to try to get out of that play-in zone. And the Phoenix Suns have the toughest remaining schedule in the NBA the rest of the way. And it's really not close. Like, they do not have a single gimme left on the schedule. Every single team they play will be in the postseason the rest of the way. So they need to find ways to win games like this. They're catching a break, not getting SGA tonight, but I don't know if we can trust Phoenix, man. I think this is a very winnable game for the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think they have guys in Jalen Williams and Josh Giddey who can step up when SGA is out of the lineup. But we're dealing with a small sample here, right? SGA has only missed 2 games all year. So there's not a whole lot you could point to and say, all right, this is who's going to benefit perfectly when SGA is out. But I think this is a semi-dangerous spot for the Phoenix Suns, especially if Yusuf Nurkic, who's questionable right now, isn't out there. That's the one area where you could really exploit OKC is, you know, they are not a good rebounding team. They have almost no size beyond Chet Holmgren.
How about Pacers-Lakers? That has implications tonight. Pacers right now are in the number 6 position, playoff position, but they are teetering, right? Same number of losses as the play-in 7th seed Miami Heat right now at 33. And then there's the Lakers, who are as close to being a playoff team as they are from being knocked out of the play-in. What do you like tonight with the Pacers favored by 3.5 at home?
Yeah, huge total for this game, as you'd expect, by far the highest on the board tonight. And we continue to see, you know, totals fall and fall since the All-Star break. Both these teams are way up there in terms of pace. Both teams are terrible on defense since the All-Star break. They, of course, combined for 295 points just 5 days ago when they played on Sunday. That was a 150-145 win for the Lakers. I don't think we're getting that many points again, you know, but I do like Pascal Siakam over 22.5 points. He's coming off of a down game against Chicago. Indy just failed to reach 100 points for the first time all season. Last time out against the Bulls, I think it's a bounce back spot for Siakam. Lakers, they're finding ways to win games, but man, they very rarely make it look easy. So I do think we get another high scoring game. Again, we're probably not pushing 300 points here, but Lakers struggle defending in transition. That's exactly where Pascal Siakam feasts. So that's one of my favorite bets for this one. And I still remain confused on the LA Lakers. I think more often or more likely than not, I should say they're going to finish as that 9 spot. They're probably facing the Warriors or perhaps the Rockets in that initial play-in. And, you know, they're 9 games over 500. It feels like they're starting to play their best basketball of the year. And yet I still feel like they're one of the biggest disappointments of the entire season. If you told me, hey, there's 10 games left in the year, Anthony Davis has only missed 4 games. LeBron has not missed that many games. They've both played really well statistically. They're getting great years out of guys like D'Angelo Russell and Rui Hachimura, and they're still in 9th place. It's a confounding team to evaluate.
10 seconds on each of these. Clippers Magic, any thoughts?
I like the Magic tonight. I think this is a dangerous spot for the Clippers, who are very lucky to escape Philly with a win on Wednesday. They are 28th in defense since the All-Star break. Magic 24-11 ATS at home this season.
All right, and your prop in the Wizards game is?
Jalen Duren over 12.5 boards. He's averaging 17 boards per game in 3 matchups against Washington. Wizards, worst rebounding team in the NBA. Duren leads the NBA in defensive rebounding rate.
Nick, thank you. So great to see you, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, anytime.
We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.